Our text this evening is verse number 20 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. Let me read that verse with you again. It says, "And when he," that's the Lord Jesus, "saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Now, in every person's life, there are memorable days and memorable events. For some, perhaps it is their first day at school, or maybe college, university, or employment. For others, perhaps it is their wedding day, the birth of a child, the loss of a loved one. And for every born-again Christian, it is the day of their salvation and their conversion to Christ. Well, in our text here this evening, verse 20 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5, we have recorded for us a memorable day in the life of a man who was known in the Bible as the man sick of the palsy. From Mark's account and his gospel, we know that this man lived in the town of Capernaum. And in the same town, the Lord Jesus Christ himself was ministering and performing miracles. Now, this man who was sick of the palsy and his friends, they knew, they heard about the Lord's great power to heal, and they heard about the Lord's great power to deliver from sin. Therefore, with this man's consent, his four friends, they take him to where the Lord Jesus Christ was ministering. And such was the crowd gathered around the Savior that day that they had to carry the man up onto a rooftop. In Bible times, the roofs were flat, and from that rooftop, they lower the man down to where Christ was. Capernaum was a fishing village. These men would have been no stranger to casting forth nets and hauling in the ropes. They were no stranger to working with ropes, and they were able to lower this man down to the very place, the very spot where the Lord Jesus Christ was. Look at verses 18 and 19 of the chapter. It says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before them. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling and with his couch into the midst before Jesus." And seeing their faith, verse 20, our text, it tells how the Lord Jesus Christ saved this man and how he forgave his sins. It says in verse number 20, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And this was a most important day for this man who was sick of the palsy. This was a day that he would never forget. This was a day that he would remember until he left the scene of time. What a blessing that day in Capernaum he received from the lips of Christ when Christ spoke to him individually and powerfully and personally and said, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And tonight, people, for a little while, it is this man who received this tremendous message that day that I want us to look at this evening. There are three things I want you to note about this man. Notice, first of all, the plight of this man before his sins were forgiven. Look at verse number 18 again. It says, "And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy." This palsy, this disease, it meant that this man was disabled. It meant that he was confined to his bed. He was weak. He was helpless. He was dependent on others for help in his life, and his physical condition there was but a picture of his spiritual condition before Almighty God. You see, the Bible says, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And this man was born into this world a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. He had broken the law of God in thought and word and in deed. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the fruit of his sin was death. This man's heart, this man's soul was dead to the things of God. This man, naturally speaking, was incapable of doing anything to please God. He was incapable of doing anything to merit God's salvation in his life. And also because of his sin, one day his body would die. He would depart the scene of time. You see, the Bible says, "For as in Adam, all die." And when he would die, his body would corrupt in the grave, and his soul would be ushered out into God's eternity, out into a lost eternity, to suffer eternal punishment in that place which the Bible calls hell, that place which the Bible describes as the lake of fire. You see, the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Thus we see that the plight of this man here before us, oh, it was great. It was tremendous. And you know, his plight is but a picture of you and our gathering tonight who are still not saved. Yes, just like this man, you too are guilty of sin by nature and by practice. You see, the Bible says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Also, just like this man before us, you are unable to do anything yourself to merit salvation from sin. You see, the Bible says you are dead in trespasses and in sins, and because of your sin, there is a wall of separation between you and God and between you and your Maker. You see, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God." And my, because of your sin, the Bible declares that you are condemned already to a lost eternity in hell itself. Turn in your Bible with me, please, over to John's Gospel. Just a little bit over from our Bible reading tonight to the chapter number 3 and to the verse number 18. Look at what you read there in that verse. It says, "And here the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking, 'He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not,'" notice it, "'is condemned already.'" Notice those words, "is condemned already." Unsaved man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, this is your possession before God as you sit in this gospel meeting. Why, just as a condemned criminal awaits the execution of a sentence upon him, so because of your sin, you're condemned already. You're waiting to be cast into hell, to be cast into the lake of fire. Yes, we see the plight of this man before his sins forgiven. But notice secondly tonight, as we think further about this man, notice the manner in which his sins were forgiven. Look again at our text in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5, and the verse number 20, it says, "And when he," that's the Lord Jesus, "saw their faith, he said unto him, 'Man, thy sins are forgiven thee.'" And from those words we see there that his sins were forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. They were forgiven by the Son of God. And it's interesting to note there in the passage, in answering the unbelief of the religious Pharisees and scribes, if you look at verse number 24, there the Lord Jesus Christ speaks of himself, and he says this, "The Son of Man have power on earth to forgive sins." There Christ was saying how he had authority on earth to pardon sins. And my, Christ has such authority. Why? Because God sent him into this world to die upon the cross for sinners and thereby make a way of redemption from sin and from the ruin of sin. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul as he speak of the redeeming work of Christ. He said of Christ, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Remember again the words of the Apostle Peter as he speaks of Christ and his work as Redeemer. He says, "For as much as you know, yet you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And there are those verses, and there's many more. They set forth Christ as the Redeemer from sin. And friend, the way for you to have your sins forgiven, it has not changed. Understand tonight that your sins can only be forgiven through the person, through the work of God's eternal Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as her sister was singing about in those messages and song. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, but now once in the end of the world have he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, by a sacrifice on the cross. He came to put away sin. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, this man offered one sacrifice for sins forever. The Lord himself is speaking in the book of Isaiah. And he says, beside me, there is no Savior. He is the only Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one that can forgive sins. The hymn writer says, there was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Now, it's interesting to note here, to receive this pardon for sin. This man here before us, he had to repent of his sins. He had to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be his Savior. And we see that from our text tonight, verse 20. Notice what it says of Christ. And when he saw their faith, the Lord saw the faith of this man who was sick of the palsy. And this man was trusting Christ to redeem him from his sins. He put his trust in Christ to be saved from his sins that day. And likewise, dear friend, in our meeting tonight, if all your sins are to be forgiven, then you too must repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be your Savior. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. By the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that you must trust in. That man that day, he put his faith, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ saw his faith. Christ took note of his faith. Tell me, as God looks upon this meeting tonight, as he looks upon your heart, as he looks into your soul, tell me, does he see your faith? What are you trusting in tonight for salvation and the forgiveness of your sins? It is only through Christ and through faith in him that you can be saved from your sins. Also, it's important to note here that in pardoning this man's sin, the Lord loved him. The Lord was compassionate toward him. And my proof of that love is seen in the fact here that the Lord did not turn him away. The Lord was busy that day. There was crowds, there was a multitude all around him and round about him. But such was the Lord's love for this man who was sick of the palsy. He did not turn him away. He did not cast him away. And likewise, such is the Lord's love for you, friend. He will not turn you away when you come to him. And when you trust him by faith to be your Savior, no matter who you are, no matter what your sins are or have been. For his great promise is this, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Also in forgiving this man his sin, my the Lord did so immediately. That very moment, that day, he forgave his sins. He forgave his sins fully. He forgave his sins freely. He forgave his sins eternally. For the Lord said to him, man, thy sins are forgiven. All his sins that day were forgiven and blotted out before Almighty God. Every single sin that he had committed from the very day that he was born. That day was forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a full, he had a free, he had an immediate, he had an eternal forgiveness. And likewise, dear friend, the Lord will do the same for you. When you come to him by faith, and when you trust him for salvation, the Bible says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All your sins will be forgiven. The moment you put your faith, the moment you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, all your sins will be pardoned. And the Lord will pardon your sins forever. Not just for a week, not just for a day or a month or a year. He will pardon your sins forever and ever and ever. Eternal forgiveness. You remember the words of David the psalmist as he spoke of that in his own life. Psalm 103, verse number 13, he says to the Lord, as far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed our transgressions from us. That is an immeasurable distance. And it speaks of the fact that David's sins were forgiven eternally. Man, woman, young person, boy or girl, the moment you trust Christ to be your Savior, the Lord will forgive your sins forever and ever for all of the countless years of eternity to come. What a salvation he gives. My, when you trust him, he will forgive your sins immediately. You turn in your Bible, please, over to Acts chapter number 13. And here you have Paul the Apostle speaking, preaching a sermon to the people of Antioch. And I want you to see what Paul says here right in the very middle of a sermon. He's speaking to these people from a Gentile background, and he was showing them that the moment they put their trust in Christ, all their sins would be forgiven. Look at verse 38 and verse 39 of Acts chapter 13. He says, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, that's the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, notice it, all that believe are justified, forgiven from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. They would be forgiven the moment they trusted Christ. The moment you trust Christ to be your Savior and rest upon his atoning blood, shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins, God will forgive your sins. He'll forgive your sins forever, fully and freely. Think of what the hymn writer says, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Yes, we see the manner in which this man's sins were forgiven. We see the plight of this man before his sins were forgiven. But notice finally tonight, notice the change in this man's life after his sins were forgiven. Go down to verse 24 and verse 25 of Luke chapter number 5. Look at what it says. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house. Notice the words, glorifying God. You see, after dealing with this man's spiritual need, we see here how the Lord took care of his physical need, and he healed his body from the palsy. And highlighting this point, we want to emphasize tonight that there is no such thing, dear people, as a prosperity gospel. There's some, and they will wrongly teach and they will wrongly preach, that if a man or a person becomes a Christian, then life for them suddenly becomes a bed of roses, a couch, as it were, of soft down. Well, that certainly was not the experience of godly Job. And remember this, Job was one of the most godliest of persons that you can read about in all of the Bible. And his life was beset with many trials as a Christian and many afflictions. Also, you think of the words of Christ, how he warned his own disciples of trials. He said, "In this world ye shall have tribulation." Again, think of the counsel of the Apostle Paul to young Timothy. He said, "All that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution." Again, you think of the words of the psalmist. He could say, "Many are the afflictions of the gospel." There is no such thing, dear people, as a prosperity gospel. It's another gospel that is not of God, not of the Bible, not of the Scriptures. But in healing this man from his sickness as well as forgiving his sins, the Lord was doubly merciful to him. And the healing of his physical frame was but to highlight the spiritual change that now had taken place in his heart and in his life. You see, from this day forth, he was to live for the glory of God. That's what it tells us there at the end of verse 25. That he went to his house, notice it, glorifying God. This man was to begin a new life of walking with God. He was to begin a new life of serving God. He was to begin a new life that would one day take him into God's heaven, into God's immediate presence in glory itself. That's what happened to that man that day. He began a new life that was to change his life on earth and was to change the destiny of his life. He was to be saved as a brand from the burning, from the pit of hell. And he was to be given a place in heaven, a place in God's eternal glory. And dear friend, let me say this, it will be the same for you. The moment you trust Christ as your Savior and have your sins forgiven, you will begin a new life. The Lord will be with you in your life. Despite all the troubles and adversities that may come upon you in the life, the Lord's promise to every soul that trusts him is this: "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Not only will the Lord be with you, the Lord will give you grace sufficient to serve him, to live for him, to suffer for him. He says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." And then one day the Lord will come and he will take you home to heaven. He will take you home into glory itself. That's where your new life in Christ will end. Turn over to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. Look with me, please, at these tremendous words. Words of great comfort, great cheer. The Lord was soon to be parted from the disciples, yet the Lord here comforted them about heaven, which is the home of every believer in Christ. In verse 2 and verse 3 of John chapter 14, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." This man, sick of the palsy, was healed, was heading for heaven. When you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, you too are heading for heaven. One day for you it will be absent from the body, present with the Lord. One day you will enter into the fullness of joy and of pleasures forevermore, as the psalmist says, at the right hand of God. One day you will be with the church triumphant in heaven, in heaven's glory, to sing the song of the redeemed forevermore. As the hymn writer says, "Forever with the Lord." Dear friend, in our meeting tonight, I commend to you Christ, the Savior, the only Savior of sinners. You know, that day long ago in Capernaum, this poor man, sick of the palsy, he made his way to Christ. He trusted Christ as a Savior. And from that day forth, His life was changed. His life was never the same again. As our sister was singing about earlier on, the Lord made all the difference in his life. That's the power of Christ. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power of the Savior. And likewise, if you come by faith to Christ and trust him to be your Savior, I tell you this upon the authority of the Word of God. Likewise, your life also will never be the same again. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. If you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, our prayer is this very night that you'll come as a sinner by faith to Christ, that you'll put your trust in him, rest on his atoning blood alone to wash away your sins and to save your soul. And praise God, the great promise of the Lord's word is this, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.